We'll kick off the January 18th, 2008 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report from the deep freeze of the Midwest. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. We dedicate this week's Rain Report to the late Ray Wolf, K9RI. More about Ray at the end of this program. This week, we bring you the conclusion of an entertaining 2007 Dayton Hamvention Talk by FCC Special Counsel for Amateur Radio Enforcement Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. We dubbed his talk, Lighten Up.
Let's look at 14275. It's a bad neighborhood. Probably in the future, we will find out that there is no problem with RF radiation brain damage at all, except on 14275. They're very poor operators on that frequency. There's a very poor operator in Canada. Canada considers him a fruitcake, apparently, and they're not taking him seriously, and their rules are pretty lax, and they are in amateur enforcement about where we were about 10 years ago. But I get complaints every day from operators who go to 14275 and they get abused. They get on the frequency and they make it worse, because instead of it being a Canadian problem, in a few minutes it becomes an American problem too, because they get into the fray. And I listened to an argument or a discussion the other day on 275, and one of the comments was, well, I'm not going to be driven off this frequency. I got rights. So there again, most of the unpleasantness that erupts from time to time on the most popular HF frequencies can be avoided if we're willing to be flexible. It's an international problem. It's not our jurisdiction. We're talking to Canada, we're working with them, but they're in a different state of mind, and they consider the fellow to be several French fries short of a happy meal. And they're not going to put a lot of resources in it, apparently. There's a similar operator in Italy. Use the big knob, go somewhere else. Report the problem, that's part of your self-policing function, but don't become part of it. The world is ugly enough. Don't add to it. You have control over that problem. You can defuse it and refuse to become part of it, and that's the contribution you can make to amateur radio. I asked one participant on 14275 why he always hung out on 14275. And he said, well, old so-and-so likes to talk there, and he doesn't have any other antennas. So this must be a very precisely cut antenna not to work anywhere else, even on 20 meters. Remember the saying from the 60s, what if they gave a war and nobody came? How many of you remember that? What if they gave an argument on the ham bands and nobody came? And to be honest with you, too much of society today is rude, self-important, cell phone yapping, road raging, stressed out monsters behind the wheel, or unfortunately, behind the microphone. It's a similar thing. Now that's it in a nutshell. We can't save you from yourselves. The best enforcement program in the world won't do that. The Orientals have a saying about Americans. They say we'll lose butt if it means saving face. And as Dave Sumner again says in this article, there's plenty of room for everyone who wants to operate. Now, when you decline to be part of a problem, you make the greatest contribution to amateur radio. We can enforce the rules. We can enforce kindness, courtesy, or common sense. But as a very wise person named Bill Cross once told me, we can't regulate stupid. We are all ordinary people. We're going to make mistakes. So much of the interference on the amateur bands is absolutely unintentional. The best interference report and solution, I carry this with me everywhere. So I got a complaint. I've listened to it all day. It's a drift net beacon. At least that's what I think it is, on 75 meters. It's S9 here at home, so it's probably up or down the bay. See if you can have somebody do direction finding on it. So that was at 4:57 p.m., at 6:29 p.m., you're going to laugh. I found out it was my Linksys 5-port Ethernet switch in the next room. When I tried to DF it with a selective AM radio, I noticed the signal went silent when I left the house. That was the clue. I started turning off my gear, and it was my switch. Now, exactly, and had this been on 14275, you would have heard an hour and a half discussion as to who was doing it and why.
You are listening to a 2007 Dayton Hamvention presentation by FCC Special Counsel for Amateur Radio Enforcement, Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. We'll conclude his forum talk in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
We're all ordinary people, and we make mistakes, especially with today's equipment. About a week ago, I became convinced that my CW keyer was out. I hadn't been on the air in about a month and a half. I became convinced that it had gone south. I substituted keyers. I checked all the cables, and finally I remembered that you've got to push the MOX or the VOX button to use this thing on CQ. And I've had this thing for 3 years. I just forgot about it. I hadn't been on in a while. I'm supposed to know this stuff. Our new flat screen was in black and white until I realized I had the cables wrong. And my wife said, and you work for the FCC. We're all ordinary people. We may think we're special. We may think Americans are special. We're all ordinary people, and we're going to make mistakes. Even the public safety services don't have thousands of frequencies that they can use like you do, hundreds of usable ones at any given time. You have those so you can have alternative plans and be fail-safe. That's why you have so many frequencies that aren't channelized. One net, when it has interference problems, says, okay, we're going to frequency B, and they just stay silent for a half hour. Come back on, and there's no problem. And whoever is after them, it drives them crazy because they can't find them. Yeah? It's a good tactic. But use your frequencies. Use your frequencies and try the warp bands. They're great. People who haven't been on them just love them. And to those of you who have been continual problems and we haven't gotten to you yet, you have a problem coming up now. Your renewals are coming up. You have the burden of proof. You have to come to a hearing in Washington, D.C. You have to make a case as to why you should keep the license. You have a lot of questions to answer, and the chickens are coming home. And finally, to all of you who will complain about the code being eliminated, I say this. If it was such an earth-shaking issue, why did less than 1% of you even file comments on it? Why is it important now, but it wasn't important then? Number two, how can it be a filter if the worst enforcement problems we have are advanced and extra-class licenses? Number three, it wasn't eliminated. It just isn't required. For a driver's test, do you have to know how to operate a six-speed transmission? I don't think so, but those are some of the coolest cars on the road with the five- and six-speed transmissions. The idea of eliminating the code has been floating around for years, yet there is more and more code equipment today than ever before, and you'll see it today. We won't know the effect for 10 years. Now, personally, I work code 90%. I honestly don't see it as a potential enforcement problem. I'm loyal to the code, but my bet is dropping the code requirement will turn out to be, over time, a stroke of genius. We'll know for sure in about 10 years I won't be here because all these ham-fest hot dogs will have caught up with me by then. So you'll have to go over the mountain on your own. But if we don't do something to appeal to greater numbers, in a few years there won't be enough room out here for all the walkers. We're getting old. We need to try new things and always work towards keeping amateur radio dynamic. You just have to know the issues, participate in it, try to be courteous even when it goes against every grain of your core being, and enjoy it. And I want to thank you again for all the incredible support that you've given our enforcement program. The self-regulating aspect of this service never ceases to amaze me. And in closing, I want to say I've been working for you for 8 years, 7 months, 16 days, 2 hours, and 15 minutes. I can't imagine a better group of licensees to work with. And I've always had interesting jobs at the commission, and I'm one of the few people on planet Earth, I think, who have always just enjoyed my job. But you folks are the best, and I'm so thankful I get to work with you. And I will thank you for all your passion and all your dedication. Thank you.
This has been a RAIN rerun in which we once again brought you a 2007 Dayton Hamvention Talk by FCC Special Counsel for Amateur Radio Enforcement, Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. The RAIN report is made available under a Creative Commons license, copyright 1990 through 2008, RAIN, all rights reserved. Before we leave you this week, we wanted you to know that the RAIN report was dedicated this week in fond memory of the late Ray Wolf, K9 RI, a well-respected and longtime Southeast Wisconsin 220 repeater trustee who became a silent key earlier this month. Ray was trustee of the Kenosha 224.80 MHz machine, one of a handful of repeaters that simulcast the Bear Information Service, BIS, back in the 1980s. The BIS was the most successful Chicago-based info service of the 1980s, having been simulcast on 10 meters, 2 meters, as well as on the 220 and 440 bands, both Wednesday nights and Thursday mornings, from 1984 through 1989. This enormously popular info service was produced by none other than RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. I can tell you without equivocation that Ray will sorely be missed. For the RAIN Report, I'm Blair Alber, KA9SEQ.